We're just looking at one verse today. We've been working our way through John's Gospel so far, and we're up to the third chapter. And we're stopping at one verse today, just one verse. One verse that many people think is the most famous verse in the Bible. Anyone want to have a guess at what the verse is? Anyone not know what the verse might be? You see it at football games. After some South American footballers score a winning goal, they lift up their shirt, and it often says this. You watch American football, you may watch boxing fights or not. There was a famous fight that happened a couple of weeks ago, Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao. The fight before, the man had this verse all over his shorts, had it tattooed on his arm. It is a very famous verse in the Bible. Anyone think they don't know it? John 3:16, and it goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's one of those verses that lots of people know, but do they know what it means? I'll read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The claim of the verse is that God loves the world. Now, it's not that just God loves the world. It says God so loved the world. Now, don't you love it when kids say, I so want that cake? What do they mean? They really, really, really want it. It's sort of the magic word, isn't it? It goes from I want some sweets to I so want sweets. You really know what their heart's feeling, don't you? And here the claim is that God so loved the world. Now, that's what we're going to be thinking about. And I've mentioned this to a couple of friends this week, friends that are Christians, friends that aren't Christians. And the ones that aren't Christians say, does he? Does he really love the world? And you ask them a bit more about that, and they say, well, look at the world, look at the mess in the world. And they might be onto a winner. They say there's so many wars. If God loved the world, surely there wouldn't be wars. They look at natural disasters. Surely if God loved the world, if he so loved the world, we wouldn't have things like that. And one friend was talking about his own mess in his own life. If God loved me, surely there wouldn't be all this rubbishness in my life. So I asked a couple of people, well, if you were God, how would you show your love to the world? What would you do? And one friend I spoke to today, he said, well, I'd stop all wars. That's how I'd show that I love the world. And I said, you'd stop wars to show that you love the world. What about the people that are being oppressed and hurt by people that other countries go to war against? And he said, oh, maybe I wouldn't just stop all wars. And I said, so what would you do? And he came up with some other ones. Have you seen the film Bruce Almighty? You'll probably either love it or hate it if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you'll just love it. It's about this guy who one day gets cross with God and pretty much says, if you're up there, just sort out the mess in the world. And God says, here you go, here's the power to fix the world. And suddenly he can hear people's prayers. And he gets frustrated by it. And he just says, I'm going to say yes to every prayer. And he says yes to every prayer. And everyone gets what they wanted. And it is a disaster. What would you do if you were God to show that you love the world? A friend I was talking to just in the corridor out there outside the toilets. He said, okay, I wouldn't stop wars. But I would zap the bad in the world. Those are his words. I'd zap the bad in the world. And I pushed him a bit. Now, what would you zap? Well, I'd zap sickness. I'd zap wars. I pushed him again. Not really. And then he said, well, I'll just get rid of all bad. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, so sometimes bad stuff in the world gives us experiences. So what bad is bad? But the problem is, I do bad things. So if you're going to zap all bad, and wherever you find bad things, well, I'd be zapped, so I wouldn't be standing here talking to you. And not pushing it a bit too far, but I know a few of you, well, you'd definitely be zapped. And those I know a little bit, you'll probably be zapped. And if you're a guest, I won't say anything, but you get the hint. We can't just go around getting rid of bad. We can't. I know exactly. The thing is, maybe God knows better than us. That's the big thing. Look at John 3:16. God so loved the world. And I look at the Bible, and God does so much good. He does so many loving things. Maybe he knows best. Maybe the things that he does, and we look at and think that's not great. Maybe actually that is loving. Maybe that is good. Now a few years ago, a long time ago, I could never do this now. I trained as a lifeguard, and my fitness levels aren't what they used to be. And when you get trained as a lifeguard, you get taught some first aid. And they say, when you come to someone, you treat the biggest problem, not the first problem you see. So they teach you things like breathing before bleeding. Now, it's obvious, isn't it? You see someone bleeding, but if then you're a doctor, you don't say that in the doctor's world. We're stupid, you're clever. For stupid people, they say breathing or bleeding. Okay? No, they don't. They say breathing before bleeding. So you check their breathing. Why'd you do that? Well, they may be bleeding and bleeding and bleeding, but if they're not breathing, well, you can stop the bleeding and they're just going to die anyway, don't they? In the non-medical world, when we were taught, they said blood before bone. Is that correct in the medical world as well? Anyway, we'll move on. They'd say to us blood before bone. I wasn't teaching it, so it's not my problem. No matter how much someone's screaming in pain from a broken bone, if they're bleeding and bleeding and bleeding, that needs to be stopped first. It's a bigger problem that needs dealing with. And the thing is, John 3:16 says God so loved the world that he looked at the biggest problem in the world and he dealt with that. If you like, he dealt with the seed that all other problems come from. And this verse tells us how he did it and what we need to do in the light of it. He dealt with the real problem. A few weeks ago, Helen and I were staying at Helen's sister's house with our kids, looking after their kids. It was a nightmare. We're looking after our two naughty nephews. And it came to bath time, and they've got a jacuzzi in the house that they never use. They didn't tell us why they never used the jacuzzi. We filled up the bath and turned on the jacuzzi. We kept filling it, and it just didn't seem to fill beyond the holes in the side of the bath. I don't know why. We kept filling it. The jacuzzi was making funny noises. It just didn't seem to fill. From downstairs, a girl that lived in the house screamed, "Stop! What are you doing?" We came downstairs and there was water just pouring and pouring and pouring through the ceiling. They didn't tell us not to use the jacuzzi, so it's not our fault. But apparently they're not plumbed in, so as the water goes through the holes, it just goes under the bath and it finds its way out. Now, there was a hole in the ceiling where the water was coming through. And if I'd put my finger on the hole, would that have dealt with the problem? No. What would have happened? Maybe the whole ceiling would have come down, but I guess the crack would have appeared in another hole. I didn't do it because it was right next to an electrical socket. I probably would have done it if it wasn't that. But the problem isn't the hole. The problem is the massive amounts of water that we were letting come out, just blissfully thinking, oh, this jacuzzi takes a lot of water in before it pumps it out. It just didn't deal with the problem. It wouldn't deal with the problem. And we look at things in the world, wars, sadness, sickness, and we think that's the big problem. Actually, there's a much bigger problem behind it all. And the Bible says it's sin. And God did something about it. Have a look at the verse and see how much God loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Now, we went out for a walk earlier today and Kath was there and the Priddles were there and Kay was there and it was lovely. And of course, we look at the world and we think, of course God loves the world, doesn't he? It's beautiful, it's pretty. You go to a wedding and you see such love and you think, of course God loves that. But the word world here is a different word. The word world is a dark, sinister word in John's Gospel. When you read it, you should really read it like this. The world. Or something. It's a dark word. Filthy, evil, sinful, messy, world full of betrayal and hurt. That's the idea in John's Gospel. That's how he uses the word. A dark world. Like a gangster movie. A real dark, sinister world. That's the word. And the verse says, God so loved the dark, sinister, dirty, filthy, sinful world. And it's a shock. If you know that's what the word world means in John's Gospel, you come to it and you think God shouldn't love that because the world pushes God away.
The world sins. I sin. We sin. Sin isn't so much a naughty thing you do that needs a quick fix. Sin is like a revolution. We live in God's world. He made it. He rules it. And he put us in the world to look after it with him as the boss. And sin isn't just me saying to God, I'll go my way here and I'll do this here. Sin is me saying to God, you're not good enough to be my boss anymore. I'm getting rid of you. I'm going to rule my life. How I want, when I want. That's what sin is. It's more like a revolution than a naughty thing. And that makes God sad. And it makes God cross. And the shock is, John 3:16, God so loved the world. And we can see how much God loved it by what he did for it. What does he do to fix the mess in the world? What does he do to fix the leak, the real problem of sin? He gave his one and only son. He gave his son. Now I love you guys. And some of you I've lent tools to. Some of you have returned them, some haven't. This is an amnesty. Feel free to bring them back. Some of you I lent DVDs to. Some of you I helped move house and all sorts. Because I love you. None of you do I love enough to give you my son. None of you. Yet God looks at us. People that push him away. People that he should treat like his enemies. And he gives his perfect son. He let the Lord Jesus Christ come into the world to die and suffer, to save us, to help us, to make us not that dark, sinister world, but into a world that can be forgiven and saved. A famous story of this guy called John Farmer, I'm sure you know it. He was a boy from Northern Ireland, and he would go to university in Belfast, and he would come home every school holiday. It was a few years ago, it was the time of the IRA, when they were doing terrorist actions in Northern Ireland. And John Farmer came home, and his dad was in the shop, and his dad was not an IRA member. He was a person that used to speak out about the IRA, saying they need to stop. And one day, John was back home, working in the corner shop with his dad. And his dad was there behind the counter, he was stacking the shelves, and in came two men with masks on. Now, John saw everything that was happening, his dad didn't. And before his dad knew what was going on, John started running in front of his dad. And he just stood there like that. Happened very quickly, apparently. The men came in. Bang. Bang. The bullets hit John. And he fell from the floor. Dead. Now, John Farmer's dad could have said, my son died to save me. And that's true, isn't it? Why did John Farmer die to save his dad? Because he loved his dad. Why did he love his dad? Because his dad was good and kind and wonderful to him. Now this verse tells us that God loved the world. And he sent his son to take the bullet for a world that hated him. That's what Jesus did. He stood in our place. He died in our place. Why? So that we should not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible says we should be punished by God. The word perished is a bad word, isn't it? The Bible says because we push God away, we deserve to be punished. This is what the Bible talks about when it mentions the word hell. Now the Bible talks a lot about hell, and Jesus talks about it most of all. The most loving man ever, Jesus Christ, tells us two things about hell. He says it's horrible, and he tells you you should avoid it. You should do anything you can do to avoid it. But the problem is, we can't deal with our sin. We can't get rid of our sin. We can't get it out of our system. I found this in a shop in town. There's a shop by Bond Square that sells things like this. Wash away your sins soap. It claims that it gets rid of 98.9% of sin. What you need to do is you need to get the soap bar, wash with it. You need to get the cleaning wipes and rub it away. But the problem is, things like this will never get rid of sin. The problem is being good will never deal with sin. The problem is turning around will never deal with sin. The only way that sin can be dealt with is number one, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and died in our place. Or number two, we can be punished by God for our sin. That is the only way that sin can be dealt with. But Jesus Christ came. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There's an alternative here, And it's on offer for every one of us here today. Now, I know lots of us are Christians here, but I know some of us would call ourselves Christians but haven't actually grabbed hold of Jesus. I know others here would say, we're not Christians. I'm not a Christian. Now, to the Christians, I want to say, does God love you? Well, this verse says, yes, he does. God so loved the world that he sent his son for you. I take part in it, and I hear it a lot. We're a grumbling bunch, aren't we? We look at what God's given us, and there are some bits that we're thankful for. But some things we grumble and grumble. Why has God left me like this? Why has God done this? Why hasn't God given me this? Does God love me? Does God care for me? Well, we need to not say things like that. We can say life's tough and life's rubbish. Please help me, God. But we can never doubt. What's that? And he does shape us as a person. He helps us through things. But we need to remember that God loves us. So let's not doubt that God loves you. He really does love us. So let's not grumble, but let's look to him and talk to each other and pray for each other. But if you're not a Christian, there is something fantastic on offer. The verse says, if we believe in him, we won't perish but have eternal life. There's a gift on offer. A gift of not having to go to hell. A gift of not having to go to hell, but a gift where we can be forgiven and have life with God now and life with God forever. The offer is, when we die, to live in a world where there's no sin or suffering or pain or hurt. When Jesus was on the cross, he had talked to a man, and Jesus said to the man, you're going to be with me in paradise. That's the picture. Life forever without sin. What's God doing in the world? How's God loving the world? Well, he's dealing with the big problem. And he's getting to us to a place where there'll be a world without mess and sin and suffering. And anyone can go there if we believe in his son and ask his son for forgiveness. Now, it's a gift. What do you need to do with gifts? You need to take them. If I had a gift here and I say, Penny, you can have this gift, what do you need to do to get it? You need to come up and get it and open it and then enjoy it. The offer that Jesus is offering is just the same. I can't just say to myself, oh, that would be a nice gift. It'd be nice to have that one day. We need to say, I believe that the gift's real and I want it, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read a prayer that tells you how you can take that gift. I'm going to read it once, and then I'll leave a pause. And maybe you want to ask God for that gift. Maybe you want to be forgiven. Maybe you see that the problem of your life is sin and that God's angry with you. Maybe you want to have that relationship with God that leads to life now and life forever. If you do, well, listen to the words I say. And then the second time I pray them, just ask God to give you that gift. Make this prayer real. Here's the prayer. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to die for me, that I might be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live with him as my ruler. Amen. Now, if that's a prayer you'd like to pray, when I pray it again, do make it your own in your heart. Dear God, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to die for me, that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Amen. Amen. Christians are a big family, and we want to help each other and support each other. The Christian life's not an easy life, but it is the best life. And if you prayed that prayer, do pick up one of these booklets from me. It's got the prayer in. Maybe you can go home and look at it again. But we're a family. Christians are a family and we need each other. So do tell me or tell someone over dinner. I like the illustration of we're a bunch of sticks. If you're a stick on your own, it's very easy to be broken or snapped. But a Christian church is like a whole bunch of sticks bound together, and you can't even snap that with your knee. That's why we need each other. So if you prayed that prayer, do tell someone. It's a great day. Today you've been forgiven. Today you've got life that will last forever and ever. And if you've already got that, let's be a people that rejoice and thank God for it.